This
is After Sunday.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of After Sunday. I am one of your co-hosts, Elissa, and today Alex is traveling, so I have a rather special guest with me. So everybody, please welcome Jacob.
Good to be here again. Been a while, so...
You said you did a podcast episode last year, yes?
Yes, correct.
I won't ask you which one it is, don't worry.
It was similar topic to this one, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was kind of about intergenerational division. So.
Oh, okay. Well, great. So, as Jacob mentioned, we are closing out our series this month on intergenerational unity. And today we're talking about some intergenerational tension and maybe what the solution to that is. So... I know in class today we talked a lot about how there's this tension between older generations, and I think Craig defined it as kind of like, think like 50-ish and older and younger generations, so like 40-ish and younger. And the older generations typically emphasize standing against moral decline, and then younger Christians typically emphasize compassion and justice. So I'm curious... Where have you seen any of these differences kind of present any tensions in any of your relationships? Or have you noticed them in general?
I've witnessed them in general, and also like being an ambassador at the Christian Student Center last mm-hmm. year, you kind of see the effects of maybe a less tolerant generation mm-hmm. on this new generation, being that we're kind of pulling in people with a lot of church trauma.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. And so, like, while I've not necessarily had it affect me the same way a lot of people have had, but, mm-hmm. I mean, I've witnessed the effects of it.
Right.
And so, I mean, even this generation is going to have their, I mean, it's not church trauma, but they're going to have their negative effects right. to the next generation as well.
Right. So... It comes down to, I think, being hyper aware of our own generation and Craig called them blind spots. Mm. So he mentioned, you know, each generation has blind spots shaped by our culture and our worldview, which we'll go ahead and define that for the podcast. So your worldview is how you see the world and how that view is shaped by when you were born, where you were born, how you grew up, and what is kind of your belief system and your core experience that have shaped you and the time in which those occurred. So that's when we say worldview, that's kind of what we're talking about. And each, you know, kind of generation has their different worldviews and their own, let's call them realities. And so a lot of times my reality and your reality can exist together, but there's this tension between them because I'm not always able to see things from your perspective, and maybe you're not always able to see things from my perspective. And I don't think this is a new problem. You know, people we read about in the Bible, they experience these generational differences too. I know, like, you think in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, we have Timothy and Paul, and, you know, how Timothy's faith was shaped by Lois and Eunice. So you have like multiple generations there, and families, and someone who isn't family, kind of shaping those worldviews of others. And so they're really working together. So I think that's a really good example to note. Older generations typically carry, let's see, wisdom and endurance. And then the younger generations typically bring like passion and energy and authenticity. Do you find that to be kind of true?
Yeah, I think that is an accurate statement. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's outliers to that,
oh,
but as like a gross overview of each generation, I would say that more so the time that will be the case.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's important, as you know, this example of like Paul and Timothy and Lois and Eunice, to really work together. And so we talked a lot about how the older generation, they're really focused on the truth part of it. And the younger generation is more so focused on the grace part of it. So John chapter 1, verse 14, states that, you know, Jesus came full of grace and truth. And when we have one without the other, we fall into some specific like traps. So truth without grace, what do you get when you have truth without grace?
Truth without grace is lack of empathy. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you're most of the time just instilling fear.
Yep.
Which is not productive.
Mm-hmm. It's condemnation. Yeah. There's no chance of redemption. But when you have grace without truth.
Yeah, then you're welcoming, I don't know the exact wording that he used, but you're welcoming a slippery slope of right. like the founding principles of Christianity are,
yeah.
you know, you're not instilling those.
Exactly. Like you have a license to basically sin indefinitely.
Yeah.
When you have grace without any yeah. truth.
It's Dietrich Bonhoeffer has a really good chapter on that in a book called Cost of Discipleship, which he calls cheap grace versus costly grace.
Okay.
Where while grace is free,
mm-hmm.
there is still a price to pay where it's like there is certain things that you have to live up to.
Right, and Jesus paid that price mm-hmm. for all of us.
It cost him everything, and mm-hmm. he tells you to, you know, follow him, and so he keeps moving, and you have to keep going.
I love that. So we have to have both to really kind of live up to who we should be ultimately as Christians, whatever generation we may hail from. And we talked a little bit about the danger of division within the church and how division often comes from unchecked ego, and it's so difficult, I find, again, no matter which generation you're from, to kind of set aside your pride and your ego. I think, especially for maybe older generations, it's kind of like, well, I have this lived experience, and I've lived so many more years, and I have all of these experiences that I'm pulling from, and maybe the younger generations, they don't see that yet. They haven't gotten there yet. Whereas, you know, then on the flip side, what do you think about younger generations? Like, what maybe be some pitfalls that they come to? Preconceived biases.
Yeah, they have negative influences of, like, tolerant mentors mm-hmm. in their own generation,
mm-hmm.
Where they kind of see, you know, while we understand that grace is powerful and can overlook any one of our sins, they mm-hmm. kind of take that to their own advantage where it's like, okay, so it doesn't matter what I do. So they kind of become more existentialist than prior generations because now they're like, well, it doesn't matter because, you know, Christ died for me and I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's while the problem is that you have the older people in this generation teaching the younger people in the same generation while the, so now they're growing up learning this way from people who have had church trauma from the older generation. And, right. you know, and you read scripture and then maybe this hard line truth from the older generation, you find it's problematic scripturally
mm-hmm.
while they are teaching necessary principles. They forget about necessary empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And so now this generation's looking at that generation saying, okay, they're wrong.
Right.
And I've heard it a lot, too, from just different people from different denominations where I had a small group with somebody and they had at one point said that God is more mercy than he is just. And if that's the kind of mentality that this new generation is going to have,
mm-hmm.
that is problematic because while neither God's justice or mercy is measurable.
Mm-hmm.
He also has the capability of being 100% of both.
Right. I heard a sermon one time at a different congregation, and the title of the sermon really stuck with me. It basically said, is your God too small? Are you putting God into a box of only, you know, bringer of justice or only, you know, giver of mercy?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really not accounting for everything that God is. And really, as you know, human beings, we can't fathom that. Like, he is everything and all things and all consuming. And that's so difficult for us as humans to fathom. But he is, like you said, 100% both at the same time, always. And that's, we are not, as humans, we are not able to be that. So it's just such a difficult concept, I feel like, to grasp.
Yeah, and I think that both generations have kind of twisted what, so our generation has twisted what empathy means, while the generation prior kind of twisted what justice means.
Yes.
Where really justice isn't retribution. It's not like getting back and punishing wrongdoers. It's restoring things back to the way that they should be. And yes, while sometimes retribution is a part of that, it's not always.
So we talked a little bit in class about justice being everybody gets what they deserve. Mm-hmm. And we also talked about how, you know, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So the wages of sin is death. So if we all got what we deserve, technically we all deserve death, as you know, imperfect, and you know, we all sin, we all fall short of the glory of God. So the wages of our, you know, inherent lack of holiness is death, and that's where grace comes in. Mm-hmm. We talked about at the end of the lesson, so like this generational tension. So what's the solution?
The problem that we're seeking is bringing people together. It's yes, unifying one another.
Yes.
And so the solution to that, while it would, it's just a domino effect, mm-hmm, where somebody has to step up.
Oh.
And somebody has to start working with another person that has, not counterproductive, but counter
experience. Diametrically opposed, yes, views sometimes.
Because the strengths and weaknesses of both will be complementary, because it's exactly grace and truth.
Yes.
And then they will be the mentors and have a trickling effect throughout their culture.
So you said mentor, and that's the word that that Craig used this morning. But mentorship, I feel like, comes with certain connotations. Like, people think of, oh, you have a mentor, it's a program, and it's, you know, got a set timeline. Mentoring, the way that we're discussing it today, is really just the sharing of a life. It's being intentional with building relationships across generations, that my cares are your cares. My joys are your joys. You know, I think it's Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, you know, sort of bear one another's burdens in love. And when we really create those intentional relationships, that's what we're doing. We're creating a shared life. And I think that's a great way to look at kind of mentoring, kind of above what we normally think of when we think of the word. Jacob, thank you so much for being with us today. We're coming up on time. Before we close out, do you have anything else that you want to add? Anything that maybe stuck out to you today?
I think that Craig's sermon has really pointed out the necessity of not just reading scripture, but studying scripture and doing immersive activities. And while not, because what is studying without application, and actually going out there and doing things, while it sounds like an unsatisfactory answer to the problem of unity, like, how do we get there? I mean, the answer is there's going to be an educated person who understands what does and doesn't matter, and they just have to, you know, get off their pew seat and start doing it.
Yeah, get off, or their high horse, metaphorically. Yeah, and
people just need to be, there needs to be an influence.
Right.
While it's unsatisfactory because it seems obvious, but...
But it's hard to do. It's hard to do.
Somebody just has to do it.
Exactly. So it's difficult to put into practice. And we'll leave you with this too. Just remember, it's possible to build up love and compassion without discarding truth. So what is maybe seemingly diametrically opposed views, you can come together and be unified and ultimately work together towards, you know, bringing people to the Lord. And that's our ultimate mission is to bring people to Christ. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening to us. Whether you started your week with us, you've got us as a midweek pick-me-up, or maybe you're ending your week with us. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Bye, everyone.
This
is After Sunday.